to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here today on Get Yourself the Job on LA Talk Radio. I'm Jennifer Cahill, and we're so happy to have you here with us for the special series that we are in the midst of, learning everything that you need to know on how to land a job from A to Z. In today's special series, we're going to be doing one of the most important episodes in the series, and that is how to foster connection. How do you foster connection in an interview? How do you foster connection, especially in this online world where we're networking and to move up in your career? Now, before we introduce you to today's guest, I want to first thank our sponsors who make today's show possible, the people over at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including temporary services, payrolling services, and executive search. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to my co-host, Brandon Maslin, to tell you a little bit about today's guest. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jennifer. So one thing I find interesting is we got started, we had some slight technical difficulties, and we just have an amazing support staff who jumped in it on it and handled it. I had a self-serving theory in my work always that the harder it is to connect, the better the call or the training is going to be. So we should, by that logic, have the best show we've ever had. So I'm very excited. So thank you, Ronan, for your hard work, as always. Man, I don't know where, or woman, I don't know where to begin with Chris Sembler's bio. If I read it, that would be our show. So I don't want to do that. One thing that was interesting is, as we were getting started, I was asking Chris whether or not we'd actually ever met in sort of real time. And the answer we both came up with was no, which is strange because I feel like I've known Chris for a while. And it really goes back to the way that Chris communicates. If you just look at, I was looking at our LinkedIn history of our messages, and the way that he writes and the way that he takes time and thought is so rare. It's just so rare. Chris gets a ton of inbounds. Jennifer, you do too. I do too. And you can tell when someone is doing I've done this pitch 199 times, and when someone is sincere in their connection and their outreach. And I think that's where I'd like to begin. My quick assessment of Chris is he's one of the most sincere people I've ever met. Not to sell him out before I even get into his bio, but I would say that Chris posted a video last year, and Chris, you might remember this, where you were walking down the streets of New York, and you were, and I think your words were, you were ugly crying, I think is what you said. And it was, to me, I remember it was the state of the world at the time. It was just so, I mean, it's not much better, but it was that towards the beginning, as I recall, of COVID. And the way you were able to harness the emotion with no shame, no guilt, no anything, but to put it out there, I thought was not only courageous, but what I really knew there was, I know why you're a master connector. Because to see someone at that level of authenticity and vulnerability is something that we can all find within ourselves and almost want more of. So I want to honor that, something I witnessed. Let me try. Chris Sembler is the best-selling author of Gratitude and Pasta, one of the number two best-selling books in that genre on Amazon. He's been featured in magazines, USA Today, Forbes, what have you. He's the founder and chief question asker, great freaking title, of 747. Which is an advisory firm which helps companies give the gift of community and belonging to their VP clients and partners. He's fostered over 500,000 connections and relationships. One of the reasons I found about Chris last year was a former colleague of mine who went to one of his virtual dinners, which he refers to as gratitude interventions, where strangers, for the most part, some people know each other, I'm sure, come together. And what an awesome time in COVID as we isolated, especially where Chris is based in New York, to bring people together. And someone reached out and said, Chris is your kind of people. And this dinner transformed my outlook. And so I thought those two things alone kept Chris in my zeitgeist, but so many others. He's been celebrated countless times. I don't want to go on. Good Morning New York, different things. He's connected to theater, which is a near and dear passion of my heart. From, as we know, of Amy Miller and Transcendence Theater. He's been part of helping 14 Tony Awards, 7 Emmys and Grammys. I could go on and on, but I won't. We'll try to link his bio so someone else can read it besides me. Here's what's going on. I have said for years that networking is important. Connection is essential in getting a job, in rising in our careers. And so many of the books, so many of the trainings focus only on networking, only on the tools, and not nearly enough on the vital nature of connection. Now, this is a secret that people find out as they rise in their careers. This is a secret that some of the most powerful people in the world know. And I don't just mean that by how much power they have. I mean that by how powerful they are as humans and the impact and inspiration they have. So, Chris, low bar set y'all with, man. But I'm going to turn it over to you.
I'm honored, man. Thank you for having us. What a great intention you have for this show, and I'm so excited to be part. So thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So we just like to, why don't we get started on what your work entails and maybe why it means something to you. What about your work connects to you, Chris, as an individual?
Yeah, great question. It's kind of a two-part question. I'll start with the why and then end with the what. Kind of going Simon Sinek style. The work that we do now saved my life. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. If you looked at my life about 5 years ago, you know, I got quite the rap sheet. You know, you read off some of the accolades, achieving the respect of our peers, a few awards along the way. 5 years ago, life looked pretty good. I was in show business. I was traveling around the world producing Broadway plays. Yeah, you know, everything looked good on paper. But just because something looks good on paper doesn't mean it feels good in the heart. And I realized that in July of 2015, I'd just come back from Italy after producing a Broadway play over there. And when I got back to New York, realized this is not it. I feel like dump crap. I felt lonely, unfulfilled, disconnected, insecure. And the last time I had felt those four things at once led me down a deep, dark path of suicide, depression, jail, rehab. I just looked up my rap sheet with my college best friend the other day. They had 43 hearings about me. It wasn't a good time, and I didn't want to go back. And so I reflected on everything. You know, they have the language, the love, the culture, the nostalgia, the history. But no, it was the food. And so back here in my home, sorry, this thing's blurry for some reason. I think it's not just because it's so dark out. But back here in my home in New York City, I started playing around with food in my kitchen and accidentally created a pasta sauce recipe and figured we should probably feed it to people, see if it's even good or not good. And a ritual began. We started gathering people night after night, week after week, month after month. And I finally found meaning, connection, and purpose around the dinner table. So I answered the question originally by saying this work, whatever we're doing right now, it literally saved my life. See, my greatest insecurity growing up is that I was always the last one called to the party. I was this weird kid that, I don't know, got out. But when I found the dinner table, when I found pasta sauce, when I found the ability to connect people, I realized I could become a servant leader and I could help people come alive. And in doing so, I saved my own life. It's been a rocky road. You know, there's ups and downs when you devote your entire life to pursuing something that you're passionate about. You know, you fall victim to it every once in a while. But the work that we do, connecting people, helping people become less lonely, and doing it on a global scale, I would not be doing it if I wasn't broken myself to begin with. And for that, I'm grateful.
So powerful, Chris. I want to pause for a moment and talk about what you shared. You know, I think that a lot of us are having the experience right now of being disconsolate and sad and depressed and angry and frustrated around the world. How can we even begin to shift our consciousness? Like, well, I get for you, it was pasta sauce, and I'm right there with you. One of my favorite things is to have people over and make a great bolognese that, ironically, I learned how to make in Italy. And, you know, it definitely brings joy and brings happiness. aside from pasta, is there anything that you would recommend that can help people to pull themselves out of that energy where it just feels like nothing is going their way, nothing's going to work? Because if you're at a party, whether it's virtual or in person, and you're with somebody, you can feel that energy. You can feel, I've been that person. I've canceled on friends. I've said, guys, I'm just not good company today. I would not want me at your dinner party right now. So how, what's your recommendation on that when you're not feeling up to making connection?
So in the world of positive psychology, there's only two things that have a lasting impact on your emotional, social, spiritual well-being after a positive psychology micro-intervention. That's mindfulness and gratitude. So let's take the first thing, mindfulness. I'm not going to go on a woo-woo spiritual thing about everybody's got to meditate and yoga and pray. And I'm not telling that. I'm saying mindfulness is coming into the present. But here's an unfortunate truth. The majority of us floating around this world right now, we live in the future. But what's the future right now except a great unknown, right? If you look at the future is uncertain. It's scary. It's filled with fear, nervousness, anxiety, especially in a global pandemic. Tomorrow is not promised. And so the only thing protecting us, or the antidote of being so off kilter thinking about the future, is to come to the present or dive into the past. So mindfulness helps us connect into the present. So the first answer is, first we have to acknowledge that we don't feel so good. In the last year, 10 months since COVID happened or started, we moved from producing in-person gratitude experiences to virtual gratitude experiences. And on every call, whether it's 20 people or 200 people, we first ask people, so how you doing? We actually get them to think of one word that describes how you're feeling in the moment and put it down in the group chat right now. People are overwhelmed, tired, nervous, anxious, sad, lonely, disconnected, unfulfilled, really, really bad state of mind. But acknowledgement is the first step. And when you look left and you look right and you realize that there are other people who are feeling the same way that you feel, that's connection. It's not when you're riding high and everything looks good that you make good friends. It's when you're both in the trenches going through collective trauma that you look around and say, we're in this together. So number two, so mindfulness was number one. Number two is gratitude. And I mentioned the future is the great unknown. What's the polar opposite? The most opposite you could be of the future? The past. Gratitude is the link to get us there. See, there's one thing that COVID can't take away from us. Our past, our stories, our history, our experiences. At every virtual gratitude, so to go back to the pasta sauce for a sec. See, we've used the dinner table to spark over 500,000 relationships in the last 5 years. We've saved a ton of lives. We've helped people come out gay, forgive their mothers, build companies, great relationship. Yeah. But pasta sauce, that wasn't the star. No, no, no. It's what we talked about every dinner. See, at that very first dinner, we asked a simple question. If you could give credit or thanks to one person in your life that you don't give enough credit or thanks to, who would that be? And we saw that by asking that question, people came alive. They didn't have to answer, what's my biggest fear, my greatest failure, my biggest regret. They got to tell stories about the mother that raised them, the father that beat them, the third grade teacher that believed in them, the stranger that saved their life, the bad boss that made them realize who they didn't want to be. And that, those stories, that gratitude, that reaching way back into the past and accessing both positive memories or negative memories, but giving credit and thanks to those memories, that's what was doing the heavy lifting. And now through COVID, yes, we can't be physically together. Yes, we're super socially distant, but gratitude reigns supreme to people from all different walks of life. Different stories, different backgrounds, different time zones. Jennifer, it's midnight where she is. It's 7:22 where I am, and it's 4:22 where Brandon is. And so we're able to develop empathy on a global scale. And gratitude is a universal human attribute that other people also connect with.
So, I mean, two things that really resonate for me there, Chris. One is the, I call it the manure of life. Like manure exists, you know, the crap, but like something beautiful can grow out of it. And, you know, you talk about pasta sauce. I would say LA saved my life in that regard. And for the exact reason you're talking about. So my friends who are New Yorkers, I'm from Baltimore. My mother was from Queens. But my friends from New York would come to LA and they go, the guy at the grocery store asked me how I'm doing today. And I was like, oh, yeah? And he goes, and then he asked me again. And again, what is that? Because he genuinely wants to know how you're doing. And it was this really funny moment to watch especially my New Yorkers kind of lose a little bit of that, you know, that thing you put up in New York because you have to, says the child of a New Yorker.
Do you?
Yeah, but not you, right? You found a way. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I mean, you've created a gratitude bubble, for God's sakes. You know, the other thing that resonates for me about the pasta sauce is my mother was a tiny little Jewish lady, but was more Italian than any person I've ever met. And it was because she grew up in Queens at the time that, like, you know, they live in these buildings and half the building would be Jews, half the building would be Italians. And the Italian kids would all come over for Shabbat dinner. And then the Jewish kids would go over for Sunday dinner and eat all the pasta. And so, you know, I grew up, you know, with this deep connection. You know, it was funny how Italy ties everything together. It's where me and my wife went for, but that to that Italian root that really defines so much of my family. And go figure, Sunday dinners over pasta sauce. One thing that, and that's followed throughout my life, being a male feminist, working in a feminist organization, hosting hundreds of dinners, much like you, but where I'm the only man at the table for some of the most powerful women in Silicon Valley, New York, all over the world. And so what I'd like to ask you, though, because when I've done it, it has been very career focused. Yet I find that when you can pull these leaders, VPs or above, out of their day-to-day grind and get them connecting in these very true, authentic ways, their careers take off as well as their lives. I'd love for you to talk about, I'm sure this has happened at some of your gratitude dinners or in your work. What is the importance of connection in this way that you've described in getting the dream job, in rising in one's career? What have you seen? What can our listeners do to get that dream job in using some of these tools?
Absolutely. You know, a lot of things come to mind when you ask that question. And I always bring it back around to kind of two quotes. You know, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. Right? People buy from people, not from companies. Companies are inherently made up of human beings. And the person who gets that next job might not be the best in the room with the greatest technical skills, but it's whoever the interviewer thinks that they can hang out with for 12 hours a day for the next 10 years of their life. I mean, that's the truth. Some people call it a good old boys club. Some people call it networking. Some people call it building relationships. It's just who's not the biggest dick. They get the job. Here's the truth about leadership. Leadership is not best defined by technical skills or intellectual capability. It's the ability to connect human to human and create an actual emotional exchange. And so when you can remove the what or the how, right? What do you do? How do you do it? Those are the normal networking questions. Where do they actually get us? They get us into a transactional relationship. When you get down to the why, when you connect people based on them believing in similar things, they're going to create relationships that sustain. Here's the thing about growing in your career. Your next opportunity might come from someone you haven't talked to in a decade. See, getting that next career bump could be reaching out to a weak tie you haven't thought about in years. I mean, here's the God's honest truth. And it says it in the Bible. There's no prophet in a man's own land. Those that are the closest to you will see your growth the slowest. You're likely not going to get that next career opportunity from your best friends, from the people you see every day. You're likely going to put it out to your network and maintain really good weak ties. And those strengths of weak ties will provide a mountain of opportunity. But the cool thing is, right, Maya Angelou says, people don't remember what you did, they don't remember what you said, but they'll always remember how you made them feel. when you create an emotional bond with other individuals, they remember it for a lifetime and think about you often. So around the dinner table, you know, we've been doing these for a number of years. Someone who came 5 years ago and cried and connected, talked about their mommy issues, talked about the big bully that beat them up. These are pretty vulnerable stories. Everybody that was at that dinner listening will have a connection to that person forever. And they'll be able to reach out for anything they'll ever need because a bond, loyalty, trust was built. I mean, look, Google proved in their promotion to emotion study that when you bring emotion into a B2B sale, you statistically increase upsell, cross-sell, revenue, referral. People with a strong emotional tie to your brand are 5 times more likely to consider purchasing, 13 times more likely to purchase, and 30 times more likely to pay a premium. If you literally correlate that into a career, that means if you bring an emotional connection into wherever you're trying to get the job or whatever relationships you're trying to build, you'll either maybe get it, you'll really get it, or you'll get paid a lot of money for that next promotion.
So powerful, Chris. I love what you just shared. And it makes me think there was one of the most well-networked guys in the world years ago. He said, if you want to make a difference with somebody and if you want to foster a lasting relationship, find out what matters to that person and find a way to contribute. Oh. And it could be really interesting with people. You could kind of see what was going on in somebody's house. And now with virtual backgrounds, it can be a little bit harder sometimes. But if you see a picture of, you know, somebody's family or their favorite sports team or a dog comes in the room, you can get curious. And by getting curious and saying, hey, you know, what matters most to you? And pause and listen and get people talking about what matters to them and see and keep that in the back of your mind. And maybe in that moment, or maybe down the road, as you said, it could be 6 months later or 6 years later, see if there's a way that you can support the person with what matters to them. Imagine if we had 7 billion people all walking around asking one another, what matters to you? Then listening without an agenda, and then seeing how they could support without an agenda, you would have so many people who would be hired. I mean, every relationship that I've ever built in my life, I just want to be of service. I just talk to people and I really genuinely care what's going on in another human being's life. And you listen, not just so you can say the next thing, but so that you can actually make a difference in another person's life. And those are the people who people want to hire. That's a great attribute, whether you're going in to be an administrative professional in an organization or the CEO. Each role, it's equally integral to have that attribute of caring. It's like a deep caring of what actually matters. And it sounds to me, Chris, that's what I'm really hearing you say happens at your dinners, virtual or otherwise, is that you're giving people a safe space to care and to talk and to share about what matters to them and, you know, what their life, what their story is, right?
Yeah, I mean, you really hit it right on the head. Curiosity, the willingness to learn, the willingness to listen and to ask deep questions of those that you're meeting, that's really the truest form of servant leadership, right? That's having humility. See, gratitude is the acknowledgement that you've received a benefit or something of value from others. That benefit or value can be hearing someone's story. It could be listening to them share their passions. You know, people with humility, they don't think less of themselves. They just think about themselves less. See, people with humility make the best leaders. And so when you walk into an interview and you don't let them ask questions to you, you ask questions to them, you flip the script, that's helping you stand out. That's helping them know, oh my gosh, he has the emotional intelligence to empathize, to connect, to be curious, and to learn. Because look, let's be real. Emotional intelligence, not IQ or technical skills, is the number one determinant on earning potential in the history of the world. Travis Bradbury and all the folks over at, the emotional intelligence book, Daniel Goleman, they found that people with high emotional intelligence earn $29,000 more per year on average than people with low emotional intelligence. High performers, EQ. Low performers, low EQ. You don't look at the person who's got the best technical skills and say, oh my God, he's going to be the best leader when he grows up. No, odds are his emotional intelligence isn't developed and he won't be able to lead because he won't be able to say, my job as a leader is to find the best talent around me and empower them and be radically curious about them for them to do the best job. And so when you ask questions in an interview, you're set up for gold.
Chris, can we go in the weeds here for a second? So you're the right there in your job title is, you know, question asker, right? And, you know, you've mentioned the word. Can you give our audience maybe two or three? I know it comes internally, right? You got to be internally curious. It can't just be fluff. But what are some of the best questions that you can ask at an interview, at a dinner table? What are some of the best questions you think really create these kind of connections we've been talking about?
I mean, that signature gratitude question, I can't do two. I'm sorry. I devote my life to one question and one question only. And it's, you know, the gratitude question. If you could give credit or thanks to one person in your life that you don't give enough credit or thanks to, who would that be? I swear to God, if you use that question in any setting in the world, it will unlock any door you've ever wanted. You will learn so much about the person. But don't let it stop with that question. Be ready to ask deeper questions. Like if you're in a job, if you're anywhere and someone says, oh, you know, I'd like to give credit and thanks to this cup. I've never thanked this cup. Awesome share. But let's go deeper. Ask them, you know, what do you think this cup's legacy is? Sorry, I don't know why my thing is. It's just because it's not focusing in on me. It's not picking me up with all those lights behind me. Whoops. You know, ask them, you know, what do you think this cup's legacy is? What's the worst thing that's ever happened to this cup? If this cup was right here with us right now, what would you say to it? And these people are going to give you the best stories in the history of the world. Now, I'll give you a brief story of how this question has benefited my ability to connect to anybody in the world. Whether it's a four-year-old kid on Skid Row or where I'm going with this story. This is a four-minute story. So I was out in Seattle on Saturday, October 6, 2018. At a friend's wedding. Friend was from New York. His bride is from Seattle. Wedding's in Seattle. So during the reception, the bride's mother and father and godfather and whoever would take turns coming up to the New York table to thank us for making the trip. Everybody that would come, the father, the mother, the sister, whatever, I'd stand up and ask this gratitude question. Yeah, I've seen this gratitude question work a lot. They all cried. We had a great time. Eventually, the bride's mother came back and said, Chris, do you mind taking a walk with me? I said, sure. She walked me over to the cousin's table, none of whom I had met. And she looked at them and she said, this is Phoebe's friend, Chris, and he's going to write a book about the findings of a question that he's about to ask you. Well, that was news to me. I said, okay. But we asked the question. They all cried. We had a good time. Later on in the reception, out of the corner of my eyes, I see the bride's father way across the venue gently grab the wrist of an older gentleman. I'd recognize the older gentleman. And he starts walking him briskly my way through the crowd of people, over the dance floor, past the bar, right up to me and excitedly says, Chris, you got to ask Bill the question. You got to ask Bill the question. That was Bill Gates. And I said, all right, let's do this. Well, before I had the chance, a few of Bill's buddies came up and whisked him away, and the opportunity was over. Well, I go back to my seat. I put my head on my hands, and I look at my girlfriend, and I say, I can't believe I missed the opportunity of a lifetime. She said, what do you mean? He's sitting right over there. You'll regret it for the rest of your life if you don't go. So I went. This question, y'all, if you're doubting this question, Bill, Melinda, my girlfriend, myself, we talked about the most intimate, vulnerable, tear-filling things you could have ever imagined. I got back to New York City and I realized this is what I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life to. So this question, use it. I guarantee it'll be the best thing you've ever asked. Money back, guarantee. Chris, tell me if it doesn't work.
Can you repeat one more time then for the audience and all of us the question?
Yes. I must reiterate, my entire life, I have a very good life. Not to brag, I'm just saying this fucking question, I owe everything to y'all. Use it. If you could give credit or thanks to one person in your life that you don't give enough credit or thanks to, who would that be? And be ready for these people to share some amazing stories. Two things will happen. One, people will reach way back in the past and pull forth some positive autobiographical memory from their past, and they'll talk about it. And they'll feel really good about thanking their soccer coach or their golf teacher or their music instructor, whatever, and they'll relive that positive emotion with you. Or, and you got to get ready for this, they'll reach that way and they'll pull forth some negative autobiographical memory from their past. And in real time, they will break down and thank the abuser, the liar, the cheat, the thief. And if they do that, you will know that person for the rest of your life, because you will have just created the safe space for them to give gratitude to the positive consequences that have occurred from a negative autobiographical memory from their past. And the science shows that when you do that, you literally destigmatize the impact that negative open memory has, replace it with positive affect, broadens and builds the brain's thought action repertoire needed for creativity, innovation, collaboration, loyalty, trust, and the list goes on. You will have helped them prove that they can get through tough shit in their past, and we will get through this right now. Look, here's the God's honest truth, y'all. This is not the toughest shit the world's ever seen. I mean, come on. We have survived far greater plagues, far greater periods of social unrest, and we got through it. When we give gratitude to the learning lessons from the past, those red lights from our past become green lights in the rearview mirror of our life, and opportunities, self-confidence, self-efficacy run rampant. I'll ask the question again. Yes. If you could give credit or thanks to one person in your life that you don't give enough credit or thanks to, who would that be? Now, what are you grateful for? Screw that. I don't believe in gratitude journals. I don't. I mean, I do. Come on. I think gratitude journals, you know, writing, you know, alone in a gratitude journal that goes in a drawer, that's only half the battle. Gratitude is an inherently pro-social trait. It's meant to be performed in community to create enduring personal connection. It is the secret sauce, albeit talking about the name of the book, Gratitude and Positive, the Secret Sauce for Human Connection. That is it, y'all. Gratitude must be done. See, gratitude's contagious. Gratitude is giving. Gratitude is generosity. The cycle of gratitude goes on and on and on. When you acknowledge the benefits you've received from others, and you either pay it back or you pay it forward, that cycle lives on. And that impacts society. That impacts goodwill. That makes you look good, and God willing, that's going to get you that next job, guaranteed. See, gratitude is not reactive. It's not a pill. It's not an aspirin. It's a vitamin. If you practice gratitude starting now that you're watching this, when you need that next job, it'll be available for you, not the other way around.
Perfect. Jennifer, any questions before we kind of come to an end here?
Yeah, very, very powerful stuff, Chris. I'm a huge advocate of gratitude. And I think that it's about the combination of curiosity. I think that when we think we know someone, or when we think that we know something or how it's going to go, we're limiting our capacity to be in the world and to understand one another as human beings. The other day I was coaching a business executive on somebody who she was like, oh, I know how this person is. I know how they've been. And I said, great. Well, what's that like for you? If you already know how they are, is there any space for them to show up differently? And what I think you're asking of us, Chris, is to let go of what we think we know about a person or a situation. We walk into an interview or into a networking event and we have this preconceived notion of how it's going to turn out. And what would it take for us to let go of our own agendas, our own attachments, and to be open to receiving whatever is meant to be in our highest and best good and whoever's with us in the interview or the dinner party? And so one thing, Chris, that I would love to do for today is I would actually love to close before we give everybody where to find you and how to buy the book and do our takeaways and exercise for today's show. I would love to ask you that question. Mm-hmm. Who is the one person that you have not given credit or thanks to? And tell us, you know, who is that person? Who would that person be in your life that you don't often think enough?
You know what? It has everything to do with this man right here, the great Reverend Matthew McConaughey. I call him a reverend because, like, if you read the book, he's like a reverend. I'm going to give credit and thanks to this woman, Jessica. Jessica is the ex-wife of a guy named Dave. Now, if you spend more than 5 minutes around me, you've likely heard of Dave. He's one of the most influential mentors we've ever had. He's one of America's best founders, CEOs, built a very big company. And I acknowledge that if it wasn't for Jessica's ability to hold the family together as long as she did, to hold him together as long as she did, to take the risk of moving to New York City from a faraway place like she did, he wouldn't have made it here. I wouldn't have met him. And he wouldn't have given me the advice on Sunday, January 24th, 2016, to follow this little pasta sauce thing that we had at the time. And I don't know what I'd be doing right now. But why I look down is that we did a thing with Matthew. And we had a really good time. And it was all because of Jessica and Dave. And now I'm reading this book. And I even quoted, I didn't even realize, the green light thing about, you know, the red lights from our past are now the green lights in the rearview mirror of our life. That comes from his book, Green Lights. I didn't even realize that I quoted it. But so Jessica, she is, they are now separated. One would say they're both in a better place. And I owe a lot to her. So thank you for asking.
Yeah. All right. All right, Chris, where can they find us? Where can they find you, my man? Where can people buy your book? Where can they join your virtual session at all?
Yeah, our website is 747club.org. You'll see on there all of our information about how to reach out. You can email info@747club.org. David will reach out. You know, on the corporate side, to close out, we serve the biggest companies on the planet: Microsoft, Google, Dell, IBM, Amex. They're all our clients, and we have a really, really big impact for them. So if you have a company, if you're looking for a way to bring your people together, give us a call. It was a phenomenal year in 2020. A lot of lonely people got to be a little bit less lonely. And then on the community side of things, you know, on top of all the client experiences we produce, we still get to host one free community virtual gratitude experience per month for our family and friends. If you're lonely, if you're hungry, if you know someone who is starving for connection, come on, we'll take care of you. Email David at 747club.org. You come as our guest. We'll introduce you to some amazing people. You won't know if you're going to be in a breakout group with Bill Gates or Michael Dell or George Soros or a four-year-old kid on Skid Row, but you'll have a damn good time. I can promise you that. So Brandon and Jennifer, thank you so much for having me. What a great honor.
You're awesome, man.
That was epic. Chris, thank you so much. This is the most fun I've had in a long time, you know, getting it. Well, obviously every day with you, Brandon, is fun, but this was just so wonderful because you can sense that it's so easy to shift our perspective. You know, my intention as a human being is to help people see that first, we see people through filters. We don't even realize it. We're walking around seeing people through these lenses, and it's not really who they are. It's just our perception. And that, too, we can actually shift the way we see people. And one of the greatest ways to do that is to be intimate, be vulnerable, get courageous, and let's share each other's stories. You know, let's shift the dialogue. Let's shift the conversation that's happening on our planet from one of lack and scarcity and fear to one of connection.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Chris, for really facilitating and showing us what connection means at a very, very deep, authentic level. I'm deeply grateful that you joined us today. Chris Shembra, thank you so much for being here with us on Get Yourself the Job. And Brandon, my friend, I'm going to hand it over to you for today's takeaway and exercises.
Yeah, I mean, how do you follow Chris, right? I mean, the guy's just passion personified. He makes me miss one of my favorite city on earth, New York. So let's see. I had three today. We're going back to our three, but they're exercises. Every show next 3 months, you're just going to end with an action, not just takeaway, but actions that we want our audience to take to get their dream job or get that dream promotion or just have the best life they can ever have. So reach out to three weak ties. That means someone you haven't talked to in a year, 2 years, 3 years. Someone, you know, go deep here and see if you can make them stronger ones. That's one. Now, how are we going to do that? Let's go to two. Talk about your why you're doing what you're currently doing, not just about how or what you're doing. Don't just give them what you're up to. Say, this is what's fueling me right now, or I'm reaching out because. Go to your why. And then, obviously, we'd be remiss if we didn't give Chris's magical question. If you could credit or give thanks to one person in your life that you don't give enough credit or thanks to, who would this be? Think about that question, whether you write it down or not. I know plenty of people love gratitude journals. I know people don't, clearly. But what I would say is take time to think about that. If you're so inclined, and they are not in the, I would say, in the more, I mean, you can do this if they're an abuser, but I want you to be safe. But I would definitely say that if they're in the earlier column that Chris mentioned, the teacher, the friend, I reached out to one of my mentors. I mentioned him once. I'll mention him again. Doc Mosca has changed my life. He's a professor at Monmouth University. And every time I've reached out to a former professor, I just do it at that time where I get the same response, and I get the same response back. This is why I do this work. Thank you for that reminder. Two, you don't realize, but the further and higher people go in their careers, I've seen this time and time for the CEOs and VPs I coach, the higher you go in your career, the less people reach out to not just say thank you, but actually say, how can I help you? So you want to go one step further, extra credit homework, say gratitude and how can I, is there anything I can do for you? Just a simple thing. So those are our four, but if you did nothing else, ask Chris's question. Apparently it'll change lives. I have no reason to doubt the man. He's too damn passionate.
Yeah, he's all heart and soul. And it's just great to see that, you know, it's easy to numb ourselves. I know it's easy, you know, there's so much sadness and things happening in the world and to get mired in the heartache that everyone is going through and whatever that might look like, job or personally, otherwise. And it's great to know that we can reconnect to our humanity and to other people's humanity by asking a simple question, and maybe even ask that question of yourself. You might want to journal about it. If nobody asks it to you, maybe journal about it and see if you would like to call and reach out to that person. So thank you for being here with us today. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you, Brandon, for so beautifully summarizing that, you know, the questions and to come up with the exercise. We do want everybody to have takeaways. Go out in your life. Be extraordinary. Have it all. Land your dream job. Get your dream promotion. And do what you're meant to do. You're welcome to follow us on iTunes, on Get Yourself the Job on iTunes, or on our Facebook page. And please continue to rate us. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin. Only on LA Talk Radio.